Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom is our ace engineer producer today on this Friday. Tom, do you know what day it is? It is...
Well, it's not Bastille Day.
Yes, it is. It's the 14th of July. It's Bastille Day. The day...
Well, the president just... I thought he celebrated Bastille Day with the French president.
It's the day the folks with the pitchforks... took a hike over to the palace, right? Anyway.
And it got pretty gruesome.
Yeah, it did. KVOI, of course, re-airs our program on Saturday morning. We appreciate that. So this edition will re-air 7 o'clock tomorrow on KVOI. Also, I want to do a quick shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans all prominently display the Buckmaster logo and a link to us, so you can hear our program on our podcast. Our Friday Focus interview today, Felipe Garcia is with me in studio. Mr. Garcia, Vice President of the area's tourism organization known as Visit Tucson. Felipe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me.
It's great to see you again. You specialize in tourism concerning Mexico, international tourism. With me also in studio to talk with Felipe is Sarah Garrett-Gasson, the newly named editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star, where she is also a regular columnist. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate that.
Good to see you. Before we talk to Felipe, we've been having some fun on Facebook about first concerts that folks went to. It's just been amazing, the response. What about your first concert?
That was when I was in junior high in St. Louis, and it was Sting, his first tour after leaving the Police, Dream of the Blue Turtles, and it was awesome. And I wonder if my friend's dad, who took us and sat very patiently during the whole show, remembers it as fondly as I do.
Oh, wow. Felipe, what about you? You grew up in Monterrey, Mexico?
Monterrey, Mexico.
Okay.
And there was a band called Soda Stereo from Argentina, from Buenos Aires, and they were... Mexican power, Spanish pop rock.
Big venue, small venue?
Big venue. It was big venue. Well, 14,000 people, more or less. And my brother criticized me, like, you're listening rock in Spanish. Why? It only should be in English. And then that band became very famous and popular. So, it was fun.
And my opposite experience about a big venue was a very small venue in 1963, a coffee house in Chicago, sitting on pillows and sitting at little tables, and saw Peter, Paul, and Mary. So that was amazing, and one of my Facebook friends actually, turns out he was at the same concert. There were only a couple dozen people there. Anyway, Felipe Garcia, how has the Trump effect translated? Has it had a chilling effect on Mexican visitors coming to Tucson?
I think it has been definitely an impact in tourism coming from Tucson, and it's based on the perception of travel to the U.S. I was down in Mexico, actually, the day of the election in Hermosillo with about 20 Tucson hotels, casinos, so 20 tourism partners. We're in Hermosillo the day of the election, and it was fascinating to hear and listen and get the sense of what people were feeling about the election. I remember we had a booth in this event, and our brand in Mexico is called Vamos a Tucson, let's go to Tucson. And people started coming to our booth, and they will joke and said, íbamos a Tucson. We used to go to Tucson because we're not being allowed anymore, and they're going to close the border. So we saw this perception of people saying, well, we're concerned, we're afraid, what's going to happen? Data right now, what it tells us is that actually the number of vehicles crossing in Nogales to Arizona are up about 3%. So more people are coming, but what we're starting to see is people are spending less time here in Tucson. They will maybe not stay two
only
nights.
Day visits.
Day visits, one night only. So it hurts our economy. We need that Mexican national to come here and spend money and pay sales tax while they're here.
And the peso now is looking a little more favorable for the Mexican visitor.
I'm sleeping better right now because it was in December. It went up to 21.4 pesos per dollar. 2 days ago, I was in Nogales, Sonora, and you can buy it for 17 pesos or 16.7 pesos per dollar.
So part of your job is to make people feel that, hey, nothing's changed. We're still a really welcoming place. Right?
Definitely. It's telling people in Mexico, we value the relationship that we have. We see opportunities. We want you to come here and keep enjoying our community. And again, we value that visitor because of what they bring here in many different ways. But one is financially. I mean, people from Mexico, they're spending $1 billion in Tucson. That's not exports of companies. This is individuals with money in their pockets coming here. And something I know that the mayor of Tucson and many, they love is that they're paying sales tax. So they go to the mall, they go to a store, they go to a restaurant, and they don't get a special card that they don't pay sales tax. They're paying sales tax. They're helping pay for police or fire roads. And we value and we appreciate that.
All right. Here's Sarah.
Do you think that the average Tucsonan understands the tremendous impact that Mexican visitors have on our economy?
I think that many do, and if you look at the state of Arizona, I think Tucson, it shines as an example of individuals that really understand. But still, I think there's a lot of people that they don't understand why people from Mexico are crossing the border. And I get that question a lot. Why are they crossing the border? Why, not in a bad manner, but why they're shopping here? Aren't there stores in Mexico? And they're fascinated by it. I've taken corporate companies, their retailers, to Mexico to go and do some walk through the shopping centers and look at pricing. And then they're like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand why they're crossing the border. But I think in Tucson, we would love to see more individuals really understand that value. So again, we tell people if you see a license plate from Mexico at the mall, wave to them and say thank you for being here.
I was wondering about that because I think the way, at least, I mean, locally, we hope people understand a little better being on the ground here and, you know, seeing just people at the mall and people at the Target and whatever. Do you think that, how do you get that message across nationally? Because the debate, I don't even know if debate is the right word, but the discussion about immigration and trade and all of that just seems so divorced from the reality that we know here on the ground. How do you get that message across in a bigger way?
Oh, that's been a fight that I've been fighting for many years and something that I've been trying to educate at a national level. So as you know, the University of Arizona, they're home for the Terry Longren Center for Retailing. And Terry Longren, the CEO of Macy's, he comes to Tucson frequently, once a year at least, to the annual conference. And I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to him and ask for his assistance on how do we educate those big companies at a national level so that they can understand the value of the Mexico market. Let me tell you a very interesting, funny story. So I'm talking to a local manager from a local store, and he says, Felipe, I get the Mexico market. They're my bread and butter. That's what I'm making my numbers. But when I talk to corporate, they don't get it. Can you help me? He says, sure, I will. So I placed several phone calls, and finally they sent me to an advertising agency in the Midwest. And I talked to this girl, and this girl, literally her answer was, I talked about Mexico. She says, oh, no, we're covered. We have a store in Albuquerque. And I said, well, that's
in
New Mexico. last time I checked. And she had no idea. She asked me, oh, so really people are crossing the border to come shopping? And I said, go to your web browser. I'll send you a link to a camera in the border so you can see those vehicles. She could not understand why people were crossing. So that's a great question and a challenge that we face. The CEO of one of the largest high-end retail stores in the United States, Bloomingdale's, he was here in Tucson, and I asked him the question, said, have you tracked international customers coming, retail tourism? And he says, you know something, we did not used to do it, now we're doing it. And I found that in Bloomingdale's, some of my stores, about 35% are international clients. So if they're gone, I'll shut down those stores. They will not be profitable anymore. So we depend on that retail tourist to come here. It's a battle that I'm still fighting. I don't think I have make any dents on it or win it, but we're starting to see more and more retailers at a national level understand that and investing. The outlet malls here in Tucson, they came because of that Mexico market and being in that border zone that we're here in Tucson.
Your background, going back to when you came to Tucson to deal, really one of the first issues you dealt with was NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, when you were working with Dr. Kasalchuk.
That's correct.
At the center, mm-hmm. give me the full name again of the center.
The National Law Center for Inter-American Free Trade.
Right, and that's how you wound up Tucson. So you were very close to working with Jim Colby and others in the whole North American Free Trade Agreement. So now we're at a stage where we're looking at renegotiating it. How do you think that's all going to fall out?
It makes sense. I think that we need to modify and bring NAFTA to this time frame. Even when we signed it 20 years ago,
updated.
Mm-hmm. Even when we signed it 20 years ago, 20 more years ago, there were a lot of loopholes. One of the things that, for example, the law center worked here in Tucson was the bill of lading. So NAFTA said trucking companies from the U.S. will be able to go to Mexico and Mexican mm-hmm. to the U.S. and mm-hmm. Canada, and perfect. So that was what NAFTA said. But then in practice, we started talking to trucking companies. And as you know, when you're shipping in a truck, there's a document that is called the bill of lading.
Right.
So we said, okay, here's the bill of lading. So this is the document to ship products across the border. And, this is great. And then people from Mexico says, well, it has to be in Spanish. And then the guys from Canada, it has to be in French. Okay, let's do it in the three languages. And then, hey, can you endorse it? No, yes, you can. No, you can. So there were all these different mm-hmm. issues that mm-hmm. we did not thought about when mm-hmm. we negotiated NAFTA. So this organization, the National Law Center Institution, mm-hmm. they work in a uniform bill of lading. As that, there are many examples. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good opportunity to modernize, update NAFTA, bring new rules on content of origin that will bring more opportunities for U.S. companies. But I think that we must keep NAFTA. I think that getting out of the North American Free Trade Agreement will be a bad decision for the U.S.
All right, we'll take our break here. Felipe Garcia sticks around from Visit Tucson, as does Sarah Garrett Gasson. 12:16 now on the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Tom, take it away. We'll take our break right now. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, our Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, plus a deep dive into Tucson's Reed Park Zoo. We talk with zoo administrator Jason Jacobs. Buckmaster airs on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. Our Friday focus interview is with Felipe Garcia, Vice President, Visit Tucson. Felipe is here along with Sarah Garrett Gasson, the editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star, where she also does a regular column that appears every Sunday.
Yes, correct, yes, it does.
Felipe, let's talk about, Sarah brought up a really good point that many people in Tucson may not really understand the value of the Mexican shopper and their value in coming to our area. I think another area that folks may not get it is how big a deal this United Nations designation known as UNESCO City of Gastronomy for Tucson. We're the only UNESCO City of Gastronomy in the United States. How big a deal is it?
It's a big deal, and it's great that we got that designation. Backing up UNESCO, just the brand of UNESCO, I don't think in the U.S. we really understand and value all the programs that UNESCO has. If you go to Europe, and Bill, you've been there many times, and Sarah, and there, UNESCO, it's a very
World Heritage, UNESCO World Heritage sites are very sought after to visit these great places.
So people, yeah. I mean, we're seeing other
cities. By the way,
cities.
The Grand Canyon, I believe, is one of those UNESCO World Heritage sites.
Exactly.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so it's a great designation that we have. So UNESCO has this program called the Creative Cities, and they look at cities that have done something unique and different in certain areas, one of them being gastronomy. And they looked at Tucson, and we're the only city in the U.S. that had the designation, and we're very proud about it. But something that we talked from the beginning, we got this designation back in December of 2015. And we got together and we formed a board, actually, for the City of Gastronomy. And we said, this should not be something that it's on our website as a list of accomplishments or on a wall hanging out there. It should be a tool that will help us better our community, our economy, in everything around gastronomy. So we're developing a series of programs and ideas, excuse me, on how we can get our local businesses actually use this designation as a way to generate more business, attract more interest of individuals.
Janos Wilder has been very instrumental. I assume he's on your board.
Yes.
Yeah. So you and Janos, I believe, traveled to Paris just last week, correct?
We were in Paris. We got actually a grant.
City, probably the gastronomy capital of the world.
So Tucson was feeding Paris, and that was phenomenal. Yeah. We got a grant to do an event at the UNESCO headquarters on their top floor.
Whoa.
So we're in the UNESCO headquarters, and this event that was sponsored, and we get the finances from UNESCO. And it was phenomenal that it was about the Tucson food, and Janos was there preparing. I think that it was fascinating to see him with not his crew, but the French crew, and talking about local ingredients. Yeah. We were able to send through the diplomatic pouch local ingredients because it was very hard to find choya buds in Paris and peppery
no
beans.
Kidding. Yeah.
So we shipped a lot of product ahead of time. We had whiskey dill back from Tucson. Mm-hmm. We had a cocktail prepared here in Tucson to be served, and it was amazing.
Wow.
It was great to be in the UNESCO looking at the Eiffel Tower and seeing the Tucson brand with ambassadors of many countries, and people just fascinated about what Tucson has to offer gastronomy-wise. I mean, many things, but in this case, gastronomy.
Sarah?
We were talking during the break that a lot of the business in downtown, I mean, a lot of it is food-based, restaurants, things like that, and that vibrancy of downtown these days. And you were mentioning that a lot of some of the investment, at least, is coming from Mexico. Could you talk a bit about that? Because I've always wondered, where is the money coming from for all this development?
There's been, and I've been very glad to see a lot of co-programming, co-investment between local partners and Mexican partners, mostly the Dabdu family, Tony Dabdu.
Where are they from?
Nogales, Sonora.
Wow.
And their real estate development, they have a lot of industrial parks in Mexico. And a few years ago, they decided to start looking and doing some things here in Tucson. They had second homes, vacation homes here in Tucson. And they started co-investing and buying and investing, like in the AC Marriott Hotel, in the old Chicago store. Marcel is doing some projects there, and he's going to have a pharmacy. And I think Chris Bianco is going to come back to that space. They're looking at an apartment building. Then I saw a group of 20 investors from Mexico got together and bought another piece of property close to downtown from Hermosillo. So we're starting to see more and more people looking at Tucson. They say, yes, we come here to spend money, to vacation, to shop. Now we can come and invest. And I think that the mayor and the council has done, and our board of supervisors, they've reached into Mexico saying, yes, keep coming and enjoy Tucson as a leisure place. But hey, if you have money in your pockets and you want to invest it somewhere, this is a place to do it.
Let's go to the live line. Terry has been waiting to ask a question of Felipe Garcia. Hi, Terry.
Hey, hi, Bill. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Sarah and Felipe, welcome.
Thank you, Terry.
I want to say this. I'm a German-American. Be proud of it, just like Mexican-Americans, and they're proud of their heritage, and you should never forgive your heritage. That's who you are and what you are, and bring your culture here. And I want to say this. Bravo. I like soccer, and if you watch Univision tonight, because this is Mexico, with our blessings to the great country of Mexico, we share everything with Mexico, food, culture, and this is good, and this is international, big time. Jamaica plays Mexico tonight on Univision at 7 p.m. live, so to all our Mexican-Americans who are proudly present their colors, their flag, so do so.
Okay.
I want to say this.
Real quickly, Terry.
I agree much you say. There's still a lot of work. KVUI takes the lead in radio show in the morning. We always have that culture with Mexico live with Chris in the morning. I know you probably don't get up and listen to Chris, but if you do, we're always talking about it. Gray Lines presents themselves every time they go to Mexico, proud of it, and come back and talk about Mexico and the United States together. And this is how we're going to solve the problems. And via Mexico.
There you
God
go.
God bless America.
Thank you, Terry. Felipe, a reaction to Terry's comment?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, yes, I agree. Chris Simon does a great job talking about Mexican opportunities, taking people down there. And Terry, I agree that that's what makes Tucson, I mean, the U.S. in general, but Tucson so special and unique. It's our diversity and how we embrace that diversity. We were talking during the break about our Indian food restaurant here
yes.
in Tucson and Mexican food and people from all over the world. That's what makes Tucson just something unique and different. I came to Tucson 23 years ago for 2 years, but fell in love with this community that embraces all cultures, all diversity. So I wish there were more Tucsons around the U.S., to be honest.
How do we keep our special Tucson-ness with this increased international and national spotlight on us?
I think remembering who we are and stop the fight of who we don't want to be. I hear many times, oh, we don't want to be like Phoenix. Oh, we don't want to be like this. That's fine. Who do you want to be? And I think that we should be the best Tucson that we can. And it's that originality, that laid-backness, that being proud of who we are. I mean, every time that someone comes and tells me about something wrong that we have in our community, I agree, there's things that we need to fix. But I can tell you 10 things that are phenomenal about Tucson. So we should be proud and just listen to those visitors, those tourists that come to Tucson. And when they leave, they're like, wow. This is an amazing place, a place that has to be discovered by more individuals. So let's work together as a community to fix problems that we have, but let's make sure that we're celebrating those great successes that we have in our community.
The shopping malls have been traditionally kind of the place where Mexican mm-hmm. shoppers have come. The Amazon factor has really hurt shopping centers. How do you see that playing out?
I think that retail, it's
the
changing.
The retail sector, yeah.
It's changing a lot, and it has to be the traditional brick and mortar. They have to really look into what's your place? But now something that it's very true is that even online, it's displacing a lot of the traditional brick mm-hmm, and mortar. Mm-hmm. It's because a lot is the fault of the retailers, because shopping, it's stopping to be fun. Shopping's mm-hmm. supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be an experience. So those retailers that they understand that and they say, wow, we need to change our approach and do an experience, that's going to be changed. So let me tell you two examples. It's funny that dot-coms, when they're successful in the retail space, one of the first things they want to do is brick and mortar. Amazon, they're opening stores. They're opening little convenience stores. They're opening kiosks because they want to sell you the experience of their product. Mm-hmm. There's a store called, they do cosmetics, and Blue Mercury. And Blue Mercury started as an online store, and they were not going anywhere. Then they realized, we're selling an experience about cosmetics. They opened their first store, bad luck to them, like two stores, a week later, two stores from them, Sephora opened the store. Yeah. They're like, oh boy. But then they realized what was their niche about creating that experience, mm-hmm. and they become a very successful company. And actually, Blue Mercury called their success story from click to brick. Yeah. So they went from the online to the traditional. Yeah. So I think that retailers need to reinvent, redo themselves to really understand and to really compete with Amazon. Now that Amazon bought Whole Foods, I think it's going to be a big changer in even how we consume products, groceries in this case. But I think that it's not the end of the brick and mortar. We'll continue to see it as a different facet.
All right. Felipe Garcia, thank you very much. Best of luck at Visit Tucson. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around. Linda Valdez joins us from the Arizona Republic. We'll have our Friday roundtable right after we take this break. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable. Linda Valdez joins us now in studio. Linda is editorial writer and columnist for the state's largest newspaper, the Arizona Republic, but she's not a newcomer to Tucson. She's lived here for like 40 years.
Something like that, since 1964, except for a short stint in Phoenix. So, I was north of the Gila for a short period of time.
So people who... I like to say that because when they say, well, oh, she's from up in Phoenix. No, she's not from up in Phoenix. She's from Tucson.
I am a Tucsonan. That is my identity.
Gives a voice to the Arizona Republic, a Tucson voice. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here as well. And we again congratulate Sarah, who takes over as the new editorial page editor at the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, congratulations. What do you have kind of... I've been thinking, I'm sure you have, kind of how you want to reshape the paper, well, in the editorial page anyway.
Yes, I have. Thank you very much for mentioning that, Bill. That's very kind. I'm very excited to say that we have added an editorial writer, Luis Carrasco, who readers will know from his work covering the border region and trade. And
he left for a while, right? To overseas?
Yeah. He and his wife, Perla Treviso, who's a very exceptional border reporter, she got a fellowship for about 9 months to go to Germany and study immigration in Europe. And so he went with her. And we were very fortunate that they both decided to come back to the Star. So they started this week, and Luis is hard at work, and we're looking forward to making some changes, looking at columnists. We've made some changes already about adding more letters to the editor that are published online. You can comment on those, and we want to get very local and focus on a lot of local content.
And for those that say, well, it's just a liberal paper, you'd have added... a couple of columnists,
yes,
who are conservatives.
We have Jonathan Hoffman is writing for this Sunday. He alternates with Joseph Morgan. They're both conservatives, self-described conservatives.
Joseph actually is doing now a talk show,
yes,
here on KVOI at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and
so there's a nice little cross promotion with the Star and Joseph show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's good news. So things moving forward there. Linda, you had a very interesting piece, a column editorial in the Republic, Democrats get an agenda for the sake of the people. The Democrats really are trying to find their footing right now, aren't they? Not only in this state, but nationwide.
Well, they should be trying to find their footing. I'm not sure that they actually recognize that or realize that. I still hear a whole lot of "we're not Trump" and resist, which is necessary. They are in a position of defending a lot of the progressive changes that have been made over the decades. But they are not speaking to people's concerns, and that was really clearly demonstrated in the last election, and it continues to be demonstrated. Trump continues to be popular with a certain segment of American voters who are reliable voters, and they are people with legitimate concerns about their way of life. They can't make a living anymore.
The economy
is hard on them. They've lost the ability to support their families. The Democrats used to represent working class people, mm-hmm. and they don't anymore, because it's not because their policies aren't good for those folks. It's because they have not managed to articulate an agenda that speaks to people.
Yeah, and Sarah, I think just lining up, and we're seeing, we had Matt Hines on the show yesterday, and he was talking about health care for him is going to be his big issue as he tries again to face off against Martha McSally. But first, he's got to get by a primary in a very crowded field. Just saying we don't like Trump is not going to be enough.
No, it wasn't. People don't vote against something. You get out and you vote for something. And I think Linda is absolutely right that the Democrats have been sort of foundering, saying, but we're not him, isn't he awful. And I personally agree, but that's not going to speak to someone who has a hard time getting food on the table, or is insecure in their job prospects, or can't afford to go to college, or is still worried about health care for their kids. It's not, we don't like him, we're not him, is not solving anyone's real life issues. And that's something that the Democrats, as Linda said, have drifted away from, and it's their own fault in a way, and it's also that people aren't identifying that, because they kind of took people for granted, and that people would see that yes, these policies would help you, but that's just not enough. It's not enough. You need to go out and you need to reach people, and you need to talk to people where they are, and not have the sort of approach that, well, we know what's best for you, and just stick with us and we'll get it done, because people haven't seen it, and the Democrats need to get on the ball.
And many of the people who supported Donald Trump were Democrats and are Democrats in the Midwest.
And
would vote, I'm sure, probably again for him. So it's hard to say. The Democrats, just looking at, say, CD2 with this crowded field, as I say, just against Trump is not going to do it. Will health care, and depending a lot of that is still a question mark, if nothing is accomplished with health care by the end of the summer, if it's kind of a kick the can down the road, is that would be something the Democrats could probably hang their hat on.
Well, again, that's hanging your hat on the failure of the Republicans to repeal Obamacare, which is something they've wanted to do for years and years. It's not, what they need to do is put forth a plan, which Bernie Sanders supposedly is going to, and Grijalva was repeatedly asked at a health care forum, you know, are you for single payer? Are you going to support? And he has supported a single payer bill, but they're not out there really beating the drum and saying, here's our alternative. Here's what we will do for your health care needs. And that's an issue that touches people. I mean, it touches everyone very deeply. And it's something where the Democrats should be able to make some headway if they had an agenda and a plan. And I don't know what Bernie Sanders is waiting for. I mean, why he's out there talking against the repeal. They should be offering a positive agenda. As Sarah said, people don't vote against something. They want to vote for something.
And I think reaching people at that gut level, because facts and figures and are great and necessary, but people don't always, probably rarely, make their decisions at the ballot box only from the brain. You got to go for the heart and the gut too. And the Republicans have been very successful in that. And people will vote against their own self-interests if they feel a part of something, if they have that kind of gut connection that you get me and you understand what I'm talking about. And I think the Democrats really need to take a hard look at who they're going to put up for CD2, because someone addressing these sort of issues, you know, military, the A-10, all these things that Martha McSally has focused her term on, you have to have someone who can go head to head and speak to that gut level.
Yeah, that's going to counter that. And Martha put out a news release just with this appropriate defense appropriation bill, which passed, which is passed the House, which has very good news in it.
Absolutely.
For the A-10. The A-10 has funding at least for another year. There's also a fix in there, as I recall, about some new wings and parts for the A-10. And there's also good news for the people at Fort Huachuca and some of the areas in her district that are very military-oriented. That plays very well. So the Democrats are going to have somebody that's going to have to counter that.
Well, indeed, that counter that. It's going to be hard to challenge Martha McSally on the military aspect of it, and that's a district where that is very, very important. But I think Sarah really got to something about the Democrats tend to intellectualize everything. They give you facts and figures. They explain rationally why they're right. And clearly, I mean, any of the debates you watch between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, mm-hmm. she won hands down. She knew her facts. She knew what was going on.
She
knew the issues, well prepared, but she didn't have the passion and she didn't touch people on that level. And that is, it's an emotional thing. Voting is an emotional thing, especially now because so many people are so angry on both sides.
I mean, just think about Howard Dean. Because I was trying to think of someone who, because you
somewhere in our vault we have that scream, but we're not going to make people listen to it again.
He got hosed on that one.
Whoa!
But the idea that I think you also run the risk of coming across as fake if the I put on a cowboy hat and suddenly I'm from Southern Arizona. And
or was it, who was it, Dukakis?
Dukakis, yes. In the tank.
A helmet.
He was
in the turret of the tank, right? He had the helmet on and he was driving around like he was ready to go to war or something.
Right, but like that sort of, like Joe Biden is genuine.
Yeah.
He's kind of a no holds barred. You feel Joe Biden. But you also run the risk, and the party has not done a good job with this, of trying to fake that sort of, like, I get it, mm-hmm. And it just comes across as insincere and a joke. So I always think back to, like, Howard Dean. He was someone that you understood his gut-level passion.
Right.
He knew all the stuff, but he spoke to people and connected with people, and Bernie did the same sort of thing. And
absolutely.
I think the Democrats, we can talk all day long about how it shouldn't be that way, but it is, and you have to deal with that reality.
They're too smart. I mean, you look at Terry Goddard, too, who should have been governor.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
He's a brilliant man.
Yeah, he's a brilliant man.
He can be called a policy wonk or whatever.
You could call him that, yeah. He was too smart. He was too smart in that election. You know, people identified with Jan Brewer and all her anger about the border.
And Dr. Garcia, the ASU education professor, certainly seemed to really have his act together when it came to qualifications when he went up against Diane Douglas.
Absolutely.
But
he
look
did.
Look what happened to him.
He absolutely
he lost.
Did. He lost. And that was the closest race in that year. He as a Democrat, he came closer to winning than anybody else in that year. But yeah, it's absolutely right. And I think the whole point about being genuine is a lot of times this is, well, Al Gore is a perfect example of, you know, somebody who looked at the polls and looked at the focus groups and then tried to change who he was to reach the voters. Bernie Sanders is genuine. I mean, he's a crabby old guy who'll tell you what he thinks. He believes what he thinks. And he reached the young people.
Yes,
he energized
did.
People.
Yes.
And by being,
young people loved Bernie.
They did, and I think they still do. But you know, that's where the Democrats should look at where they have had success, and not try to reinvent themselves. They have an agenda. They just don't know it, I guess, is what I would say. They haven't articulated it.
Who's on the bench? You wonder what national Democrat is even emerging as someone who could be a spokesman. Our spokeswoman for the party.
Well, Al Franken, people are mentioning Al Franken and Elizabeth Warren as a national figure.
And Representative Harris from California. Kamala. I don't know how to pronounce her first name. But yeah, there's a couple people out there. But no, although I would admit President Al Franken just sounds awesome.
All right, Sarah and Linda, thank you both for coming in. And Sarah, before we do let you go this week, do you have, if people want to, are you kind of changing, getting back to your new role? Some of our listeners who would like to engage with the kind of what is traditionally known as letters to the editor, is that going to change a little bit, or how is that going to work?
We put almost every letter that we receive online at tucson.com/opinions. You can go there and you see letters. We put them up a couple times a day. So they're, you got to tune in. And then we have the daily letters package in print. And the other changes that we're going to be talking about, we're going to get back to local editorials, and we're going to get some extra space during the week, which we're very excited about. So we're really going to emphasize
With a goal of a locally written editorial, perhaps every day.
Couple times a week at least.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a work in progress.
I don't want to give you more.
Well,
work
thank you.
To do
thank you. But
now that I put that out
but
there.
Tune
oh boy,
in.
They're going to do it daily.
Yeah.
Now,
that will
maybe down the road.
We're going to talk about that, and Luis will write an intro column and say, "Hi, I'm Luis Carrasco, and here's who I am," and that will be next Sunday. So not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Okay. Well, look for that. Thank you, Sarah, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
And if I could just say also congratulations to Sarah. I think it was a great choice, and I look forward to what you're going to do with the pages.
Right. We all do, and Linda, we'll look forward to your work. Do you have an editorial that you want to talk about for Sunday or no?
Sunday, yes. We're writing about the unofficial results for the AZ merit scores that came out. We did a news story about that, and so we're writing about that on Sunday.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll be right back with our Weekend Watch.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. All right, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great weekend getaway. Or spend a couple more days there. Make it a long weekend. It's just 3 hours from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. And it's very green right now in the Gila National Forest. The rains have come. It's a great way to explore historic Silver City. Just have a very relaxing weekend. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our fine sponsor of Weekend Watch, our usual Weekend Watch host, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, is back in Washington, D.C. Matt is taking care of a little business back there. So we're going to be having Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson joining us, filling in big shoes to fill. But Dan does a great job from Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. Just telling everybody that Matt Russell's very busy with some of his, I believe, you know, he is an award-winning publicist as well. He's back in D.C. taking care of some business. So do you have some great tips for us for the weekend?
I'm going to do my very best. I try to channel my inner Matt Russell, the enthusiasm, the glee, the joy. I'm going to give that all to you today.
Let's go for it.
All right, tomorrow, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., this is the Dan Gibson highlight of the week. There should be like a bell or a whistle or something like that. The Summer Speakeasy and Del Bach Showdown. Of course, most people, I assume listeners to your show, they're familiar with Whiskey Del Bach,
yep,
the mesquite smoked whiskey made by Stephen Paul and others. They're having a cocktail competition at 47 Scott where you can enjoy the best of Tucson's bartenders making Whiskey Del Bach cocktails. I don't know what can be more exciting than that. Portions of the proceeds go to Living Streets Alliance. There's going to be a judge's pick. There is a People's Choice Award. There's going to be delicious food samples. It'll be a lovely time. Go on or call 47 Scott, I think, tonight. Tickets are limited. They're going to be all gone. Make sure you go. It'll be a lovely time.
And before you go any further, your sure friend and colleague, Felipe Garcia, who was just our guest at noon today, was telling us that Janos and Felipe were over in Paris, and that particular local whiskey was showcased.
Exactly. See? Find out what Parisians are talking about. All the buzz with Edelbach. It is a truly delicious beverage.
What else is going on?
You want something a little different. I try to mix it up for you. Creatures of the Night, Cool Summer Nights at Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. That's tomorrow from 5 to 10 p.m. The museum still stays alive and active at night during the summer. There's going to be their popular Fur, Feather, and Fangs show. There's an art exhibit, Into the Arctic, by Corey Trepanier. Their animals will be out. There's going to be live and animal interpretations. Food and drinks available for purchase. It'll be a lovely time. Why not enjoy the beauty of the night desert out at Arizona Sonora Desert Museum? Regular ticket prices apply, by my understanding.
Perfect time of year to go out there after the summer rains. A nice smell of the desert and really enjoy yourself at the museum.
Exactly. This is my vote as well. Sunday. Give you something for Sunday.
Okay.
Third Sunday of the month at XO Roast and Tap and Bottle at the 6th Avenue, 7th Street intersection. It's analog hour. Time to put the phone away, put the iPad back in the bag. Just enjoy life like it once was, reading, talking quietly, playing a calm board game. Enjoy a lovely coffee from XO Roast. May I suggest their chilled bean cold brew or whatever they have at Tap and Bottle. Get yourself a glass of wine, maybe a lovely craft beer. There's going to be a book bike there, so you can pick up a book to enjoy. Just chill out. You know, it's the summer. It's a nice time to take a little bit of a break. And that's from 1 to 3 p.m. on Sunday at XO and Tap and Bottle.
Good advice. Thank you, Dan Gibson. Have a great weekend, Dan. Thank you.
You too.
All right, Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson helping us out today as Matt Russell has some business to take care of in D.C. Is it possible to curtail poverty? This week on Liberty Watch, long-term anti-poverty activist advocate Peter Cove joins Charles Heller about Poor No More, Rethinking Poverty and Dependency. Liberty Watch right after Swap Shop at 10 a.m. Sunday on AM 1030 KVOI. Our theme music on the Buckmaster Show, Christophan, the fine young German composer, presents that for us. His music available with a link at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and of course, Tom Fairbanks on Friday, who does such a great job helping me out, and everyone here at KVOI, we hope you have a great weekend. Back with you on Monday.